So this morning, chapter 41 of Genesis, as we move on, a long chapter, probably won't get through it all, but we'll do our best here, see what happens. Remember, Joseph is in jail. He's in the dungeon. He's ministering there. He's still walking with the Lord, doing all that he can do in spite of the situation that he's in spite of the times that he's in. In those that times can be hard for you and I. Sometimes we do feel in bondage. We feel like we're all bound up and we can't move and we can't seem to get anywhere, get the things done that we want to get done. But as we look at his life, we realize that all things are possible with God in that he wants to break those chains that hold us down. And it says in verse 1 of chapter 41, and it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. Can you imagine? He's been in jail now 2 full years already. God hasn't released him. God hasn't broke him out. You almost think of Paul, sitting in jail singing hymns at midnight, and just all of a sudden all the doors open up and the freedom is there, and yet he doesn't do that. With Joseph here, and you just, Lord, I don't understand your ways all the time, but isn't it amazing that his ways aren't our ways? Sometimes we stay in those depressed states for a long time, and yet God is still with us. He hasn't left us. Sometimes he breaks us free almost instantaneously, and yet God is still in the midst with us. He hasn't changed. He's still the same. Whatever he has for us, we need to be content with. We can't look at what somebody else had and say, well, you broke him free, why not break me out of this bondage that I'm in? And yet, in the midst of it, God has a plan to minister to our hearts, to change us, to free us, and to just be in that place where he could be glorified. And he's going to. And it also puts us in a place of realizing that we can't put God in a box. Well, you work this way this time, so that means you got to work this way every time. Not so. God changes, not. But he does things at different times for different people, for different hearts, for different ways to be accomplished. So don't put him in a box and think, well, God, you haven't worked, so that must mean that you don't love me. You haven't worked, so that must mean that you want me in this place of being depressed and in being anxious and being not set free like other people, and you probably love them better than you love me. Not true, because God loves each of us the same. Otherwise, he wouldn't have died for us, because his love was manifested on the cross. That's why we celebrate communion every Sunday, because it's just a remembrance of what he's done for each and every one of us. He died for the sins of the whole world. Not just for those that are good, or we think that are good, because there's none good. He's the only one that's good. And so we're all in the same boat together. It's just we're in different places. We're different people. We have different personalities. We have different likes and dislikes. We have different capabilities. We're in different spots in our walk with the Lord even right now. And yet he still wants to meet with us, and he still wants to set us free. He still wants to help us. But sometimes we're freer when we're in bondage from the world than we are when we're free to roam around and do whatever we want. Joseph is in jail, but he's freer than any one of those people that are outside of jail. He's even freer than his family, because his family's experiencing things that are going on in their lives. They're having the guilt of selling their own brother. Jacob's having trouble because he misses his son. He thinks he's dead. He thinks he'll never see him again. He's struggling. They're all struggling. Joseph is freer than they are. So don't take the situations that you're in and say, God, you must love somebody else better. He loves you right where you are. And he wants to meet with you there. And he's meeting with Joseph. Joseph is still walking with the Lord. And it's been 2 full years that he's been in jail. Not only is he a slave that worked for Potiphar, and then got deceived by Potiphar's wife, and she had him put in jail almost because of her accusations, her false accusations. But he's still walking with the Lord in spite of those things. And it's good for us to examine our own hearts. Lord, is this circumstance that I'm in because of what I've done? Or is it because of things that I can't control? Joseph couldn't control any of those. He could have cried out all day long, I'm not guilty, I'm not guilty. And, which was true, but it wasn't going to set him free. But he could be free no matter what surrounded him. And that's what we want for each and every one of us, isn't it? Is that we could be set free because of what God has done for us. Free in the circumstances that we're in. We go one chapter and we think, well, that was quick. But he's been there for 2 years now. Day after day after day. Lord, are you going to set me free today? And we do that sometimes too, don't we? We're counting on him so much to set us free today that we almost have a hard time getting past it. We get disappointed that the day goes by and we're still in bondage. And yet Joseph was free. The circumstances didn't bind him up. The world tried to bind him up, but God was still meeting with him. And God can still meet with you and I, no matter what the circumstances are around us. Excuse me. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed. So here comes 3 dreams by 3 different men. Remember the baker, the wine giver there, the butler, and now Pharaoh. 3 different dreams, but they're to unbelievers, aren't they? They're unbelievers. God is trying to minister to people all the way through. They just don't know who to go to. Instead, they go to the one who knows what to do. They're with Joseph. Joseph interprets their dreams for them. And so he ministers in that way of bringing life to them. And certainly, what a gift he has. At the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. Remember, the river is the place where they worshipped. They worshipped the river. They had a god name for him. They worshipped the Nile because they thought that was a god that brought them life and sustained them. He stood by the river, and behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored cows, kine, and they were fat-fleshed, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. So they're in this place. He sees these cows. He knows they're cows. They're coming up out of the river. They're coming up out of the place where there should be sustaining, where there should be nourishment. There should be things that are going on. Crops can be watered by this river. Everything just brings in that place just a picture of fatness, of things that are going on that are well. And out of it, 7 cows. Remember, 7 is the number of completion, of perfection. So it was a perfect number. It was a perfect time. And so these fat cows come out of it, these lean cows come out of it, and it says in verse 4 that the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke. I'd be awakened too. If the cows were sitting there eating other cows in my dream, that would wake me up too. Just like, Lord, what is going on? And aren't you glad God interprets this for us? Because otherwise we'd sit here and we'd have all kinds of interpretations depending on what we ate for breakfast that morning, and we would come up with all kinds of things. I'm so glad God does it for us that we don't have to look at it. These ill-favored cows come up and they ate the 7 well-favored and fat cows. So Pharaoh woke and he slept. He went back to sleep and dreamed the second time. And behold, 7 ears of corn. So here we go again. The numbers are still the same. The perfection, the completeness of it. 7 ears of corn came up on one stalk, rank and good. And behold, seven thin ears, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the seven thin ears devoured the seven rank and full ears, and Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Thank goodness it wasn't real, huh? But it's going to become real as we look at it. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. No kidding. And when God does something twice, you know that he's trying to impress somebody that it's going to come to pass soon, that it's going to be completed his way, and it's there for a purpose. It's there for a reason. Not just to give us bad dreams so that we don't sleep at night, but to give us something that we can hold on to something that we can look to and just see what God has for us in the midst. Everything that goes on in our lives is there because God is using it to minister to our hearts and our minds and our spirits, the things that he has for us. Everything that goes on is spiritual. There's always something spiritual happening. This war that's happening with Israel and Hamas is not just a physical war. There's a spiritual battle going on. And I'm glad God doesn't open up the heavens and show me what's going on, because I don't know if I could handle a picture of all of that. But remember Elijah with his servant. He opened up the heavens so he could see. He opened up his eyes to see that there was a battle in the heavenlies all around them, that it wasn't just the Philistines and the people of Israel, that there was a spiritual battle going on for the livelihood of Israel, for the livelihood of what was going to go on of mankind. And yet all things that are going on are there to teach us, to encourage us, to exhort us, and to help us, to grow us in grace, to grow us in who he is. And so it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt, not just a few of them, but all of them, and all the wise men thereof. So he's got all these wise guys hanging around his court, all these magicians that are fake, kind of like our government. They kind of are surrounded with all kinds of people who are fake, but I wouldn't say that out loud. And they called all of them, and Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. They couldn't even come up with a good facsimile of what was going on. And this shows me something. It's amazing to me that when God brings a dream that's from him, from his spirit, the evil spirits cannot interpret the goodness of God in the midst of it. And it holds them down and it keeps them quiet. So that what? So that God's voice can come forth and give a good interpretation. But it's also amazing that there's only one person that they can remember that they can call to come and interpret the dream. Isn't it sad that all of Israel is around and all the people that are around there, and yet there's nobody else but Joseph that can interpret it? And when he interprets it, there is no hesitation in being able to interpret a dream from God, because he's walking with God. And yet for these past 2 years, who's been ministering to Joseph's heart to get him ready and prepared just for this moment? For such a time as this, that you can come, Joseph, and be here and have this interpretation. Look at all that God orchestrated to get Joseph into a place where Pharaoh's dream could be interpreted just at the right time. Gee, you think maybe God's in charge of everything that's going on? I think he is. We can't get disturbed by the things that are going on around us. They certainly afflict us and they certainly show us awful things. But God has got something going on, and he's readying the world for all that he said he was going to have in his word. That's why it's so important to be in his word every day and to know his word, because we don't have to be scared with the times that we're in. We know what's going on. God's already told us what's going on. He's given us from time beginning to time ending. We don't have to be upset with the things that are going on. We realize what's going on. But can you imagine if you're trying to walk through the world today without Jesus? How awful this is going to be for them when they finally realize what's really happening, when the answer was right in front of them the whole time. Oh. And you know the sad part? There's a lot of Christians and a lot of Christian, so-called Christian churches that are sitting there that aren't opening their Bibles. and they have no idea what's going on. That said, when people call themselves Christians and yet they don't realize what's going on in the world right now, it just shows they're not reading, they're not studying, they're not making themselves available to God's Spirit so that He can show them. Because what does Scripture say in the New Testament? That the Holy Spirit's come to lead us into all truth. We know the truth about the days that we're in. We know the truth about the times that we're in and the seasons because God has showed us. And I'm so thankful we have His Word. It just becomes more and more precious and more worthwhile. I don't have to turn on 8, 10, or 13 to get the news or Fox. I can open my Bible, and it's right there. The enemy's here to split apart families. He's here to split us away from our kids. He's here to take them out. But God is here to restore all the things that the enemy is breaking apart. And He will one day. We can trust Him. Verse 8, it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. He sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and for all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. All the so-called wise people of Egypt, the ones that have proved themselves over and over and over, all the magicians that could do all these things. Remember when Moses comes in Exodus, and we might get there before the rapture, maybe. I hope not, but hey, I'd rather have Jesus teach us than me. But but remember the magicians, the first few miracles that Moses did, the magicians could copy. But when God was done with them, they couldn't even stand before Moses anymore because the things were too outrageous. The things, the miracles that were happening were too much for them. They couldn't handle them, and they all left. And we don't read about them after that. Not only was God done with them, it seemed like Pharaoh was done with them because they couldn't help him. And yet the one that could help him was standing right in front of him, but he didn't want him. He didn't want his God. And it's the same in the world right now. There's a lot of things that are happening that are almost magical. And yet we know that Satan is behind a lot of them. We read in Scripture that in the last days, in the last times, Satan's going to be able to do many, many miracles. He and his demons. But they're going to be false. They're going to be copycats of what God can do. Because they can't do anything on their own. It's only when they're led to it. Trust the one that's above all these things. Don't trust what you can see. Don't trust those miracles that you can see. You trust the one that brings them. It wasn't Moses that did those miracles. It wasn't his staff that did those miracles. It was the God of Moses that did those miracles. And it's our God that's doing all things today. You think the sun came up this morning just because we're so wonderful? It came up because God has set it in the heavenlies, and He's the one that brings it to pass every single day. Did you ever think about that? I looked out this morning when I got up at 5, and the moon was huge in the west. And then it turned orange as it was going down. And it was just amazing. It was so big. Just to sit and realize, I know the God that made that. And that's just a little bitty star in the heavenlies. We've got stars that are 200 times bigger than our sun and our moon. And they're out there floating around. And they're all in order. A big bang couldn't put those things in order. That just blows things apart. Our God puts things in order. And your life has an order to it if you're walking with Him. And it may not seem like there's an order. It may seem disheveled. It may seem just blown apart. But God is working in the midst to bring an order in the midst of it. But sometimes it takes our hearts to come in agreement with who God is and what He's doing for us to realize that it's not out of order. Everything is in order. God just wants to show us these things. So then spake verse 9, the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. 2 years later, oh, duh, I forgot something. Hey, Pharaoh, I was supposed to tell you 2 years ago, but I kind of forgot. Amazing, isn't it? But whose timing? Not Pharaoh's, but God's. 2 years. God, you could have done this 2 years ago. Yes, yes, I could. But it wasn't the right time. Today's the right time. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants, and he put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night. I and he, we dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was with us a young man, a Hebrew, somebody that was different. Isn't it amazing? With all the slaves that are brought in from all around the surrounding regions, that they realized this man was a Hebrew. It wasn't just a slave, he was a Hebrew. He was one of the chosen ones of God. Servant to the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams, to each man according to his dreams did he interpret. And it came to pass as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. Just like Joseph said was going to happen. Oh, amazing. As God brings these things to pass, do you wonder if Joseph ever doubted his interpretation? It's been 2 years. Nothing's happened since then. He certainly got his dream, his interpretation answered the very next day when he hanged the one and let the other one go. But you think after 2 years, did he ever doubt that God was still with him? As we go day by day, do you ever doubt that God's not with you? Do you ever come to a place of just being so overwhelmed with despondency and discouragement that maybe you think, God, where did you go? But really the answer is, God, where did I go that I would doubt you that you left me? Because doesn't his word say he will never leave us or forsake us? And God leaves those periods of time where he can grow in us to realize, God, you haven't left me. Things are difficult, but you haven't left me. And even in good times, does God leave us? No, he's still with us. Good or bad, times don't matter to him. Circumstances don't matter to him. He promised that he was going to never leave us or forsake it. His promises are true. Whether you're having a great day or you're having an awful day, God's still with you, and he loves you. That has not changed. But do you trust it? That's the issue. Do our hearts trust it? And God wants to work that in us. Today, Lord, I want to believe more than ever that you're not going to leave me or forsake me in spite of my circumstances, in spite of my disabilities, in spite of the diseases that are around me. You haven't left me, and I thank you for it. And you can worship no matter what state you're in. It just depends on you, not on God, because he's faithful. Lord, am I going to be faithful to worship you in spite of all this? And there's some days we get up better than other days, right? When it's rainy or it's real cold and you get out of bed and you're going, and you realize your furnace is off and the aches and pains are there more in rainy days than other days. And you just kind of hobble around trying to find the heater and trying to find the space heater and to do all that stuff. He still hasn't left you, and you can still worship. It makes it a little bit more difficult, doesn't it? But you know what? The worship can still be there because it comes from the heart. It doesn't come from how your physical frame is doing. It comes from the heart that says, God, you love me in spite of me when I was good, when I'm old, when I'm decrepit. Lord, you still love me. And I can still worship you. And that is so freeing because it doesn't depend on circumstances. It depends on our hearts. And what is the Lord working on in your life and my life? Our hearts. He wants to change our hearts. And in the midst of it, he's working. So Joseph is here. The chief butler finally remembers, after 2 years, that, oh, there's a guy in jail that can interpret dreams. Aren't you wondering if he was hoping that that guy was still there now that he's mentioned to Pharaoh? Oh, by the way, there's a guy that can interpret dreams. Are you wondering if he hopes that Joseph is still alive so that he can come and do this? Because otherwise there's going to be a lot of death and destruction around because Pharaoh's upset. And if Pharaoh's upset, there's nobody safe. It's like the saying around us, if mama's happy, the whole house is happy. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. There's truth in these things, yeah. So then Pharaoh sent and called for Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself, made himself presentable, and changed his raiment, and came in unto Pharaoh. Can you imagine the excitement in his heart? He's the lowest of the low. He's in the worst of places, and Pharaoh, the mightiest man in all the world at the time, calls for him to come before him. You wonder if he nicked himself while he was shaving. Can you imagine the beard after a couple of years sitting in jail with no razors? Oh, my. Probably looked like the guys from Duck Dynasty, you know. And just how do you get that off quickly to get in front of Pharaoh, you know? There's a lot of hair on the ground. So Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that you can understand a dream to interpret it. Oh boy, the mightiest man in all of the world demanding of the lowest of slaves, you better interpret this, buddy. Pressure's on. Aren't you glad you've got a God that's not a respecter of persons, and that we can have that same heart? It doesn't matter who calls you in before them. They're just a man or a woman that God wants to meet with, and he'll use you and I to do that. He's going to use the lowest of slaves to minister to the mightiest man in the world. Ah, God is so cool. You almost can sit there and giggle at this, because it is so funny that nobody else in the kingdom, all these guys that are walking around in robes and turbans and jewels all over them, can't interpret a dream. And so they call for the lowest man to come. And they have to shave him and give him new clothes before he can come. It's amazing to me what God does, just to show us that with him, nothing is impossible. I can do this work in your life. I can do this for you in your life. I can imagine by now he's not even thinking that God is going to get me out of jail. I'll probably be here the rest of my life and die here, but I'm still going to walk with God. Oh, would we be content to do that if God never changes the rest of our circumstances till we go home? God, I can be content that you're going to love me and I'm going to be okay no matter what else happens, even if nothing else happens. I'm still okay with you. Ah. And when that contentment can come, boy, we're so free that God can use us in so many different ways. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, verse 16, said, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. God always wants to bring peace. Pharaoh's troubled. What doesn't he have? He doesn't have peace. And what does Joseph say? God's going to bring peace. Ooh. The witness is there, the lowest of slaves, in front of the mightiest man in the world. And yet he gives witness to who God is. He's not ashamed of his God, and he's not ashamed to tell anybody who his God is. Certainly conviction for you and I, isn't it? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river, and behold, there came up out of the river seven kine, fat-fleshed and well-favored, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, seven other kind came up after them, poor and very ill-favored and lean-fleshed, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. I never saw cows this bad in my land. Oh, they're in your land now, Pharaoh. And the lean and ill-favored kind did eat up the first seven fat kind. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them, but they were still ill-favored as at the beginning. So I awoke. Isn't it amazing? They had so much to eat, and when they finished eating it, they were just as bad off as they were before. The picture of things that were to come. And if you really look at it, you can look and realize that there is going to be 7 years of tribulation. You wonder where the number seven, why it keeps going through Scripture. There's 7 years of tribulation, isn't there, in Revelation? And it's going to be the worst of the worst of the worst. And everything that there is going to be destroyed and taken away. two-thirds of the trees, two-thirds of the grasses, a third of the sun blacked out, two-thirds of the Jewish people eliminated in these 7 years. And at the end of it, it's going to be worse than it ever was at the start of it. We think things are bad now. When God's wrath is poured out upon the earth, the end of that 7 years, we're going to look like we had a picnic going on by the time that's done. It's going to look worse. It isn't going to get better until Jesus comes. And then everything gets better. Ugh. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them, but they were still ill-favored as at the beginning, so I awoke. And I saw in my dream, and behold, 7 ears came up in one stalk, full and good, and behold, 7 ears withered thin and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. And the 7 ears devoured the 7 good ears. And I was told this, and I told this unto the magicians, and there was none that could declare it unto me. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. Pharaoh, there's a God that's above you, and he just showed you what he's going to do. Amazing, the boldness of this man. But you know what? When you have the confidence of God, you can be bold without being arrogant. And there's too many arrogant Christians that are too self-righteous for their own good. And that's why God can't use them, because there's too much of self in the way. The 7 good kine are 7 years, and the 7 good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. The dream is altogether. God has put it in double so that you would know that it's coming to pass quickly and that you need to do something about it. And the 7 thin and ill-favored kine that came up after them are 7 years, and the 7 empty years blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth it unto Pharaoh. God is about to do something in your life, Pharaoh. Are you ready for it? Amazing. Folks, God is about to do something in your life. Are you ready for it? He's going to change your heart. He can change your life. He can change your direction. He can change the place that you're going to for eternity if you allow him to now. Behold, there comes 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, and there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. It's not just going to be here and there. It's not just going to be one place or another. It's going to be worldwide, much like the flood. Even though evolutionists and all the scientists and all the wise magicians of the world are saying that there never was really a worldwide flood. Really? I wonder if they talked to God about that. But the plenty, it says in verse 31, shall not be known in the land by reason of the famine following, for it shall be very grievous. It's going to be a heavy thing to go through. But you know what? Even in the heaviest of famine of times, is God still going to be with you and me? And some of you I know are feeling like God hasn't been with me for a long time. My life is heavy. My heart is heavy. I've gone through heavy times in my life, and I don't know if I can take another day. Have you gone 7 years? And God is still with you. Yes, he is. Amen. And God is still going to be with us, even in the midst. Even if you're feeling heavy and the times are grievous around you, God can still minister to you and love on you and help you. He wants to. And you know what? The things that we're going through are no different than the things that are going on in the world. We're suffering. We have people with cancer. We have people with debilitating diseases. We have kids that aren't walking with the Lord, just like the rest of the world. But we have a hope that should stand out above that, that God, you're able, and I trust you. They're heavy times, but God is good, and we can trust him. I don't know how anybody in this world right now is getting through it sanely, because it is so whacked out. It is so unbelievable. I never thought it would be this bad. I was hoping I'd be home before now. And you people are the reason I'm still here. So get with it. Let's get going and let's do something so I can go home. This will be good. God is showing you, Pharaoh, what's about to come. Things are going to get bad. They're going to be heavy. They're going to be grievous. Oh, Pharaoh. And you know what? As you look at this, you realize how gracious God is. Did God have to do this for Pharaoh? No. He's an unbeliever. He's an idol worshiper. He's a thief. He's a robber. He's a murderer. He's a stealer. And yet God comes to minister to him and brings a Christian to him. Would you be the Christian that could go to that unbeliever and tell him God is about to do something in your life? Oh, and you know what? In God's grace, he brings Joseph. He orchestrates Joseph getting sold as a slave, going down to Egypt, so that Pharaoh has a believer there to minister to him, to show him what to do. Why not just wipe them out, God, and just make it all Christians? Because I want them to get saved too. And I'm going to bring you there in the midst of all the unbelievers in the world, and you're the only one, so that you can minister and bring my grace to a country that doesn't want me. Oh, and we're almost in a country that doesn't want us. They put you on a terror list as being a conservative, fundamental Christian. And God wants you to shine and bring him to them. You have heartache, you have hurt, but you've got a God that's greater than your heartache. You've got a God that's greater than your hurt. And God can raise you up above where you are right now and bring joy and peace and a blessing to those that are around you. That's what he has for us. Lord, you want me to be a blessing to my neighbor that plays loud music and has music I haven't listened to in years, and you want me to be a blessing to him? Yeah. Why? Because I want to bless him, because I love him. I died for him. Oh, Lord, help me to have a heart that's right, not to get mad at him, but to love him. Easier said than done, isn't it? It takes a change of heart to do it. It takes a God leading us to be able to do that. And Joseph is being led. And he says in verse 32, and for that dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God is going to bring it shortly to pass. When God does something twice quickly, it's because things are coming quickly. Things are going to happen. So now, therefore, let Pharaoh look out for a man who is discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. God has given Joseph wisdom. Here, Joseph, say this. You don't think of the things that you're going to say before you come to the unbelievers. You let the Holy Spirit of God bring those words to your mouth, Scripture tells us. And he'll bring you the words that are necessary so that he can set you up in the right place for the right time. So let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years, and let them gather all the food of those good years that come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. Doesn't this sound a little wacky? But you know what? With all the getting that they do, the fifth part of all the crops that come in, for 7 years, and they keep building bigger warehouses and bigger storehouses and bigger things to keep these things. At the end of the 7 years, everything is gone. The whole land around them is consumed, and they come down and they keep buying. They keep buying. They keep taking. And all of it's going to be gone. All those warehouses are going to be empty. All those storehouses are going to be empty. But nobody's going to have to starve because God provides. God, what can't you do? I can do all things. Nothing is impossible with me. Do you trust God this morning? And that food shall be the store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, and the land perish not through the famine. Can you imagine how many people are looking at this guy as he's building storehouses and he's taking the fifth part of the crops and going, you're crazy. That's a crazy plan. That can never happen. And you know what? We have scoffers in these last days that say, where's the promise of Jesus is coming? He hasn't come all these years. Do you really believe he's coming? I do. He's coming. Everything's in order. And yet there's people then just like people now. You really trust God? You talk to somebody you can't see?
Yeah.
Are you crazy? Probably, but hey, I'm saved crazy. I'm okay. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh. Of course it was, because God brought it to pass. And in the eyes of all of his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this in a man whom the Spirit of God is? Look at what he's looking for all of a sudden. An unbeliever, an idol worshiper, and what does he say? I want a man that has the Spirit of God in him. Guess what? There's only one man there. Gee, I wonder who God's choice is. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as you are. He's using the same words that Joseph used, because they're God's words. That's why we use God's word. That's why we speak God's truths, because that's always truth, and ours isn't. In verse 40 he says, you shall be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than you. In one day, he went from the lowest of slaves to the second in command of the whole world. How do you do that?
God.
Nothing is impossible with God. Did Joseph ever think this? Probably not. I'm not thinking it that I'm going to be second in command of all the world, but if God has ordained it, guess who's going to be second in command of all the world? Only God can do these things. The world can't do it. There's not anybody smart enough. The Jeff Bezos and all the other rich billionaires of the world and the Gateses and all those people can't even imagine what God can do, because they don't believe that God is alive and that God can do. So that makes you smarter than Bill Gates ever will be. Can you imagine going up to him and say, hey, Bill, you want to get smarter? I got the answer. Amazing. It's not something we can be arrogant about, because we didn't do it. God did it. You shall be over my house, verse 40, and according unto thy word shall all the people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all of the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. Amazing. It should remind us of a story in the Gospels, where the prodigal son came home. And what did the father do? He put a ring on his hand. He changed his raiment. He had him get dressed in the clothing that was fit for the son of a man who was there, a ruler. And the Lord is doing it with Joseph. Since his dad couldn't be there to do it, God is doing it for him, because God is his father. And God is our father. That's why we cry out, Abba, Father. Abba in Hebrew is daddy. Daddy. Our dad can do that. He can put a ring on your finger. He puts a seal on you that says, this one is mine. Don't touch him. Don't touch her. She's my daughter. Ah. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. He was going from cleaning out dung in the prison to riding on a chariot all around the world. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And one day we know that every knee is going to bow and every tongue that is going to confess that Jesus is Lord. Oh, and he made him a ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all of the land of Egypt. The position he puts him in, and we need to stop there just for time's sake. But boy, what God is doing in this man's life. And you just get so encouraged to see what God can do. And you know, we may go through this life and never have anything of that sort. But you know what? One day, our King is going to clothe us in robes of righteousness and set us before him at the feast of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he's going to be there with us. And all this world is going to be beneath us. You have a future and a hope that goes beyond anything this world can even imagine. all of the councils of the world that are trying to get this one world government going, and one day they will. But God is still going to be above it. And you know what? You're his child. If you're born again of his Spirit, and he loves you, and he's going to put you in that place of being over it all. Because when we come back on this earth with him at his second coming, he makes us a kingdom of kings and priests, and we're going to rule over this world. You're going to be a king when you never were a king. You're going to be a queen when you never were a queen, because he's going to put you in that position. It's not something that you made for yourself or the world made for you. It's something that God makes for you. Ah, rejoice today. It isn't going to change the heaviness of the times that we're in. It isn't going to change the heaviness of the circumstances that you're in. But it can gladden your heart to a place where you can be content with what's going on right now and be able to stand. And I think that's what God wants us to do in these days, is stand, to be different. The world is falling apart. They're falling down. Christians are going to stand. So, Father, we just come before you, and Lord, we want you to prepare our hearts as we get ready to take communion, Lord, to remember what you're going to make us, but Lord, also what you have for us right now, that you have great things for us right in the midst. And the greatest of things is to know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to know the one who's made a way for us. And so, Father, have your way with us. Prepare our hearts. Minister to us as we sit before you. May we just realize all that you've done, Father, and remember what you want to do in and through us as we sit in these days, as we realize that we need you. Lord, prepare us just to meet with you even right now in the humbleness of times, to know that you're God and that we can have a relationship with you. We love you and thank you, Lord, and we just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, how thankful we are as we remember what you've done for us, Lord, that you've made things, these things known to us, that we might rejoice in them, that we might remember them, that we might keep them in the forefront of our hearts and minds, Lord, that you paid a price for us that we couldn't pay, that you gave your body to be beaten, scourged, torn apart for us, Lord, that you gave your blood to be poured out for the remission of sin, and that you did it for the sin of the whole world, Lord. You did it for us, but you did it for the whole world. You're no respecter of persons. You know that each person needs to be saved, needs to be born again. And we thank you for that salvation this morning, Lord, as we come before you and remember what you've done. May it become precious to us, Lord. May it become something that we rejoice in, something that we realize more and more, in that it would just bring us to a perfect place of just being content in you, where you have us for the moment, Lord. When you looked up from the cross, you looked at the thief and said, "Today you're going to be with me in paradise." But to his mother, to his friend John, he said, "You have more to go through, so I'm giving you to each other." Everybody's in a different place, but everybody can know you. And Lord, we're thankful this morning that we can know you in the midst, that we can rejoice in you and just have a heart after you, Lord. So do that work in our lives that you need to do. And Lord, help us to be content in the midst, knowing your presence with us all through those times, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's partake.